Good morning. Welcome to you to the Lord's house this morning. As always, we'd like to encourage everyone to sign the friendship register at the end of the pew and then pass it on for your neighbors to sign. If you're a first-time visitor to Berea Christian Church this morning, we'd like to say a special word of welcome to you, and we'd like to honor your presence with a small gift that Lana will come and bring to you where you're seated. If you'll simply raise a hand, let us know where we can find you. Any first-time visitors, please raise your hands. Oh, one right there. Awesome. Welcome, folks. If anybody would like some further information about our congregation and ministries, there's a sheet inside the bulletin that you can place in the offering plate later on in this morning's service. Everyone is welcome to the fourth Lenten Supper and Meditation this coming Wednesday, March 7th at 6 o'clock. That will be downstairs in the fellowship hall. It will be a light supper provided by the Good Neighbor Sunday School class this week, followed by a brief meditation. And we will be finished prior to 7 o'clock choir practice and Bible study. Inside your bulletin, there's a flyer for the receiving of donations for the Flowering of the Cross, which will occur on Easter Sunday, April 1st, at both services. Please fill out the information on the card and make a check payable to Berea Christian Church. And in the memo line, if you would put the words Flowering of the Cross, and then place that in the offering plate, or you may bring donations to the church office during the weekdays. Please also note that we are accepting donations of candy for the children's Easter egg hunt on Palm Sunday. Ladies, please check out the information for the spring tea. And men, please let us know if you plan to attend this week's gathering of the men, which will be Thursday evening, by filling out the flyer in your bulletin and placing it in the offering plate so we can get a good count for meal preparation. And Kathy has a word or two to share about her work as our church historian. Kathy.
Good morning. I just would like to invite everybody to stop into our little history alcove right off of the foyer here. We have obtained a very nice display case, and it's got some stuff in it from our church's history. And I'm going to try and switch it out at every 3 or 4 months. So if you just pop in on your way into church or out of church or in or out of choir practice, or just love to have you take a look at it. And if you have any suggestions, you have anything at home that's a historical value, please don't bring me any more plates. I have enough of the commemorative plates, but anything else I would gladly take a look at. Just take a look at it, it looks really nice. We have the Virginia Woodard Memorial to thank for obtaining that. So thank you very much, take a look.
Please rise for the call to worship. Praise the Lord. With all my heart, I will thank the Lord in the assembly of his people. All who are delighted with them want to understand them. All he does is full of honor and majesty. His righteousness is eternal. Let us sing hymn number 100, stanzas 1 and 4.
Skies, my heart awake, he cries, may Jesus Christ be praised, alike at work and prayer, to Jesus I repair, may Jesus Christ be while life is mine, my canticle divine, may Jesus Christ be praised. Be this eternal song through all the
May we bow in prayer. Gracious God, you know the secrets of our hearts, our aspirations, and our lack of confidence, our willingness to accept challenge and change, and our times of resistance and reluctance to follow your leadings. And yet, you love us still. You are always with us to guide, protect, and nurture us along our path. You hold us in arms of grace, uplift us on wings of hope, and care for us in surprising ways. For this, we lift our praise and gratitude. And as we begin our worship this morning, Lord, we pray for your presence to be felt among us. May your Holy Spirit guide our hearts and minds as we come before you now. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Please take a few moments to greet those around you and welcome each other into worship this morning. Please be seated. At this time, we'd like to invite our kiddos to come forward for the children's sermon as we sing from page 511, Strong, Gentle Children.
Strong, gentle children, God made you gave you the wisdom and power you need. Speak in the stillness all you are longing for. Live out your calling to love and to lead.
Good morning. How is everyone this morning? Boy, we've got a big group here today, don't we? All right. How many of you know what the Ten Commandments are? Any hands? Any suggestions? Any guesses? Okay, well, the Ten Commandments are, if you would, rules for us to live. Okay. He gave it to the nation of Israel a long time ago. Okay. Do you have any idea what maybe some of the Ten Commandments are? No? Okay. Well, I had some guessers the last time, but we're totally new on the subject here. Okay. Well, the Ten Commandments begin with, "You shall have no other God before me." You shall not make any statues to represent me. You will not misuse my name. You will not neglect the Sabbath day. And for us, that's Sunday. And then here's one of them that your mom and dad want you to remember, okay? If you don't remember that, I've got two other things I want you to remember. Honor your father and mother. What does that mean? You don't know? Okay. How about do what mom and dad say? Now then, that's easier, isn't it? Okay. It also says don't kill, don't lie, don't steal, don't want to take something away from somebody. You ever been like that? Have you ever seen somebody have something, you want to take it away from them? You know, those are a lot of rules to remember, aren't they? Yeah, don't let anybody take you. Well, Jesus took the Ten Commandments and turned them into two, okay? And both of them revolve around the idea of love, okay? God loves us, and so we should love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and all of our soul. Then we are to love each other. Now then, if you love somebody, you're not going to smack them, are you? No. Yeah, why would you do that? Okay. If you love somebody, you're not going to steal from them, are you?
No.
Okay. If you love somebody, you're not going to try and take their things, are you?
No.
So, it's real easy. So, love the Lord and love your neighbor and treat them the way that you want to be treated.
Never be mean.
Never. Too late. Okay. All right. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Oh, Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we just come to you now. Thank you for this day. We thank thee, Father, for each one of these little ones as we seek to raise them in the ways of you, our Lord, our God. Thank thee, Father, for your Son. In his most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Alan. As we have the privilege to go to God in prayer this week, please remember Sheila Killian. She is at the North Kansas City Hospital, dealing again with some significant respiratory concerns. Edna Williams is dealing with a pressure wound once again, so we certainly want to be remembering her in our prayers. Terry Lyons asked that we remember the family of Claudia Parker. Their 40-year-old daughter passed away and has left three young children, the youngest being the age of 7. We want to lift up that the services for Dorothy Harris will be here at our church at 3 o'clock this afternoon. She is the mother of Penny Green, who attends the 8:30 service. We lift up Kathy Archer in the midst of her recovery and Emily Boswell. We also want to lift up Roger and Barbara Blakely. And we also continue to remember Gwen Staffney's sister, Susan, and Penny Valley, among others, whom we've been remembering for some time. So may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, we look to you as our loving Creator as we offer you praise and worship this Lord's Day. Just as the Northern Lights and the Northern Star guided generations of maritime explorers across the world's oceans, so also do we, as people of faith, know that your Son, Jesus Christ, came into the world not only to be our Savior, but to also be our living guide, the head of the church. For as Paul tells us in Colossians, Christ is the head and reveals in himself the full nature of you. And as the head of the church, O God, scriptures tell us that Jesus is the visible likeness of you, the invisible God. He is the firstborn Son, superior to all created things. So as we strive to focus on the ways and words of Jesus, we know, Heavenly Father, that we can receive a measure of confidence as we endeavor to go about our daily task. As violence has once again prevailed in a multitude of ways across the country, we are reminded in Revelation chapter 12 that the serpent, called the devil or Satan, the one who deceives the whole world, he was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Thus suffering prevails through his influences day to day. But yet we also know that in Christ we claim the victory that has already been won. And we know that we are given the privilege to share in that victory, as 1 Corinthians tells us, thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And as Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 8, that in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Thus, as believers in Christ, may we, as Paul declares in Romans chapter 12, not be overcome by evil, but may we overcome evil with good. It is with the confidence of Christ's guidance that we affirm these truths as we offer the prayer Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And Joy has our reading for this morning. Thank you, Joy.
Our reading this morning is from John 6, verses 35 through 40, and can be found in your Pew Bible on page 974. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But I say to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. This is indeed the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day.
Oh.
Living into her 95th year, Fanny Crosby, one of America's most prolific hymn writers, who wrote 8,000 gospel songs and hymns during her lifetime, spent all but the first 6 weeks of her life in total blindness. Despite this setback, which certainly made it more challenging for her to transfer her thoughts onto paper in an era of quill pens and inkwells, she often said, "I have a jewel, contentment." When she was only 9 years of age, she wrote, "Oh, what a happy soul am I. Although I cannot see, I am resolved that in this world, contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't." Through whatever challenges she faced, Fanny Crosby possessed an optimistic outlook that must have certainly been contagious whenever others were in her presence. And her approach to life allowed God's Holy Spirit to instill in her consciousness words that nearly two centuries later still inspire people the world over. For our communion hymn this morning, we are privileged to be equally inspired by the words that we sing, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long." So you're probably familiar with the hymn, "Blessed Assurance." May we sing stanzas 1 and 3, please.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
And as we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Lana leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come very humbly now before this table, where we're so grateful that we can be reminded each week of the body and the blood that your precious, precious Son, Jesus Christ, died, gave up for us so that we can have eternal life with you. We're so very grateful for that, and we ask that you would, we thank you for your forgiveness of the times that were disappointing to you as we live our lives each week. But again, grateful that we can come back on Sunday, come to this table, celebrate his life, and rejoice. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. traveling light and being dependent upon building relationships with native tribes along his journey is the reason why the Scottish missionary doctor and explorer David Livingston was so successful in his travels, being the first European to cross the width of southern Africa and the first to discover the spectacular waterfalls he named Victoria Falls. In his work as a missionary doctor, David Livingston brought much needed medical aid to many tribes while introducing them to Christianity, as he also worked to free many of those tribes from slavery. Regarding possessions, Dr. Livingston once said, "I place no value on anything I have or may possess except in relationship to the kingdom of God. If anything will advance the interests of the kingdom, it shall be given away or kept only as by giving or keeping it, I shall most promote the glory of him to whom I owe all my hopes and even eternity." As we consider our personal stewardship of God's resources, possibly there is an important message in Dr. Livingston's example for us today: to travel light, being dependent upon and cooperative with others in our mutual efforts to accomplish tasks for the glory of God. With these thoughts in mind, Wanda leads us in a word of prayer as we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Let us pray. Lord, we ask for you to guide us every day in the decisions we make, and you guide us to do our best for you. We ask for you to use our offering to do your glorious work. Bless the gift and the giver. Thank you for all your many blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord God, we pray that this offering is used for your glorious purposes now and always. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. Just a note to say, it's a joy to see Nick and Betty Riga here from the St. Louis area. Glad y'all are back with us today. God bless you. Thank you so much. Glad you could share in Sunday school and worship both with us this morning. God bless you both. May we have a word of prayer. Lord God, we do give thanks for the privilege to be in your house as we continue this journey, acknowledging the armor of God that Paul talks about. And today, we express great appreciation for the truth that we have the assurance of our salvation through Christ, your Son and our Savior. It's in his name that we give thanks. Amen. We are now on this seventh sermon in this series we've been working on about the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. And today we look at that 17th verse, the briefest portion describing a portion of the armor that we have in this entire text. Verse 17, take the helmet of salvation is all he says. Now, take those few words and make a sermon out of it, right? Geez, like Paul, hey, you know, elaborate a little bit. Give me a little help here. But Paul knew, as well as we do, that the entire body can be rendered ineffective if the head and thus one's mind and one's clear thought processes are disrupted, right? You know, that was so profoundly illustrated when I was a hospital chaplain in downtown San Antonio back in the 80s when a young father came into our hospital and was hospitalized for quite some time with a severe head injury because he had been riding a motorcycle without what? A helmet. And my goodness sakes, ladies and gentlemen, the rest of his body was in good shape except that the head injury caused so much trauma that he literally became an invalid. And so here he is, a young man with young children and a wife, major breadwinner, and he was going to be in an incapacitated state in a nursing home for the duration of his life. Now that is horrible. It's a horrible tragedy. I guess that's why it still comes to my mind this many decades later. We got to protect the head, the mind, if you will. And in our Christian walk of life, we need to protect the spiritual mind that God gives us, because we learn from the scriptures that Satan is always looking for ways to go to battle against us, and good actions and evil actions alike, they all start where? They start in the head. You don't normally necessarily do something until you first start thinking about it. And so the text in Revelation tells us that that great dragon was thrown down from heaven, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth and his angels were thrown down with him. And Satan is trying to mess with our minds by interjecting doubt concerning God's ways and tempting us to believe that somehow we can be more powerful than God himself. Remember, again, we've talked about this story before, story of Eve in the garden, there in Genesis chapter 3. She explains to the serpent, who is the devil, that she would die if she ate the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, or even if she touched that fruit. That was the instructions from God, right? And yet, what does Satan do? He interjects doubt. He says, that's not true. You won't die. And as the text goes on, verse 5 of Genesis 3, God said that because he knows that when you eat it, you will be like God. Don't you know that all evil, in whatever form it takes, seems to be this desire to manipulate other people or to have power over them. Somehow think that you're more powerful than the person you're harming. That's what Satan does. John chapter 8, verse 44. The text says, Satan has never been on the side of truth because there's no truth in him. He is a liar, the father of all lies. And 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, Paul tells us, even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. In other words, boy, there's a lot of things that can seem to have a little hint of being right. Oh, but they're horribly wrong, right? Thus, we need to be about the business of protecting the mind. And part of that protection is that protection from even doubt itself. Do you ever find yourself doubting your own mind or what it is you're thinking? I do all the time. Sometimes I feel like I'm like a nitwit. I never trust what I'm thinking about whether something's correct or not, especially when it comes to names and numbers. Those sort of things, unfortunately, just fall out of my head. That's a terrible place to be for being a pastor. You know, I should have immediate recognition of everybody's name the moment I see them. I wish. Boy, some of you who've got that, you don't know what a great gift you've got. The rest of us are just hobbling around on crutches when it comes to our consciousness. But you know, I'm constantly questioning names and numbers in my head. I'm pretty good at, you know, if I start heading in a direction, I know where I'm going, and I'll probably get there. And if I see something, I remember what I see. But names and numbers, I have so much trouble with it. But how is it that we help ourselves when we have that kind of problem, that kind of doubt going on? Well, what we have to do is we have to have remembrances to help us know that something is certain. And that probably was enforced in no better fashion than when you were in elementary school and you had to learn the multiplication, what? Tables. You had to know for certain that 6 times 6 is 36, 6 times 8 is 48, right? You know it. Why do you know it? You know it because you went over and over and over and over again. That's why you know. But you know, by the time you get into algebra or trigonometry or calculus, you better know those tables or you're sunk. How are you going to be able to work a problem, difficult problem, if you can't even remember those simple things? You know, when our son was little, we had him do this program called Kumon, kindergarten. He started doing this. Hated it. He did it every day, 7 days a week, all the way through elementary school. Started in kindergarten. The darn program cost us about the equivalent of our light bill. So that was a tremendous financial investment on our part. But you know what? I remember one time when Jonathan was at the Air Force Academy and he was just talking to me on the phone one day. He said, "Dad, you remember all those Kumon classes you paid for?" I said, "Well, yeah, it was like the electric bill. Sure, I remember." There was a pause on the mobile phone. He says, "Thanks." Because he was, at this advanced calculus business at the academy, and not having a bit of trouble, whereas some of his classmates were struggling. Because it's quick. It all came quick. It still comes quick. That's why now he's working on a master's degree at Georgia Tech. He still has classes where he has to do complicated problems with a sheet of paper and a pencil. No calculator and no computer in front of him. Even today. It pays off, doesn't it? We know for certain when we commit it to our memory. Years ago, a gentleman in the church I served at the time, he lived not far from my house, so it was very easy for me to stop by and visit with him when he was quite ill, and he knew his time on earth was coming to a close. And he just paused one day as he was visiting him, and he says, "Dennis, I just don't know for certain if I'm saved." I said, "Well, Bill, what does it take for you to have that certainty within your heart?" What struck me about the fact that he was wondering that is that he was a man who had his life centered around engineering precision, because he was part of the team that developed the triggering mechanism for none other than, of all things, the atomic bomb, the first one. So he lived a life in which precision and details was at the heart of everything he did. And yet, here he was wondering, I'm thinking, "Well, Bill, what is it that could help to dissuade you from having this kind of doubt at this point in your life?" That's why Paul is telling us we need to put on the helmet of salvation so that we can possess that assurance that Christ wants to give to us. You know, what's interesting about this Roman helmet that Paul would be making reference to here in Ephesians chapter 6 is that you didn't just go take your helmet off the shelf and put it on. A helmet was in with a work on a part of art on the part of lot often in ashes fat was helmet put it off and put it off the shut off helmet your take go just you did that six chapter vision very 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 would be would be would be would be would be
You know what? once,